You are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenci. Welcome to the program that puts its money where its fantasies are on the Fantasy Sports Network. It's Football Friday, literally and figuratively, man. We're going to jump the gun and start to give you a ton of selections early on in the program today. Why? Because games are kicking off. We got a game kicking off in about 30 minutes time. We're going to break that down in a couple of minutes with Steve Merrill, ProSportsInfo.com, one of the cover's experts. We've got Arkansas and Missouri kicking off at 2:30. That should be a track meet. We like the over of that football game. Normally we want you to watch the segment. We're not going to tell you who we like right out of the gate, but this game kicks off in about 28 minutes now. We like the over of this game, and I think Mizzou is a live home dog in this spot as well. We got the Apple Cup. Take a bite out of the apple, baby. And you know what? The Raging Redhead, Cam Stewart, happens to be a very big Wazoo fan. And Cam, a little known fact, Cam's all about the Pacific Northwest. And we'll have to get the story behind that. Cam's favorite NFL team, Seattle Seahawks. His favorite college football team, the Washington State Cougars. And the college football team he hates the most, the Clemson Tigers. We'll break it down. We'll take a look at the Clemson Tigers South Carolina game as well. Tigers laying 24 there. This Apple Cup is huge. We got a MAC semi-championship game going on, man. You know, people say, the MAC, it's not one of the better conferences. Well, I don't know, man. I would beg to differ right now. Look at Western Michigan. These guys are 11-0. They're 11-0. If they're able to win today, then win the MAC championship game, they're going to the Cotton Bowl, man. Western Michigan's going to the Cotton Bowl, but they got to win first. They're playing for $6 million. That's what the payout is. Like, literally and figuratively. You don't think that program's tense? It's like, it's not just the kids, man. We're talking about, like, the teachers, the professors, all the administrators, the AD, everybody. Basically, like, the future of the university depends on them winning, essentially. $6 million in Kalamazoo, Michigan, that's like $66 million in Manhattan. You know what I'm saying? So $6 million goes a long ways in Kalamazoo, baby. A huge game. But if Toledo wins, it's ruined. It's ruined. And suddenly Toledo goes to the MAC championship game. And you know what? Payback is a bitch. Let's rewind to last year. It was the exact same scenario, man. Toledo were on the verge of the big money bowl game, and Western Michigan knocked them off. We're gonna break all that down. We got afternoon games, and we got night games. Could be Charlie Strong's last game. Steve Merrill joins us, Cam Stewart in studio. Little college football talk, and of course, some hot roster talk as well. We're going to focus in on the quarterback fantasy matchups with the Raging Redhead, Cam Stewart, and Pat Mayo's Super Lock of the Week. And Pat Mayo's Super Lock has been getting picked over the last couple of weeks. We're looking for a bounce back this week from Pat Mayo. We'll see what he has in store for a Super Lock of the Week. I'm expecting him to get hot down the stretch and put together a nice record before we're all said and done. We've got our record compiled. There are a lot of jackasses out there. Oh, how come you don't post your records? Yeah, we do post the record, jackass. Just watch the damn show. A little bit later on, we'll post some of the records as well to keep track of things. As I said, man, this season's just flying by. All right, let's start off the program with a couple of bold predictions for week 12 of National Football League play. Let's start off at the top, and it almost feels like it's a deja vu all over again. And when I say let's start off at the top, the first game in the rotation are the San Diego Chargers at the Houston Texans. And first thing when I noticed that San Diego's the first game on the board, it means that they're playing early, which means it's not good for the San Diego Chargers. Now, it's not very bold in me telling you that a 6-4 football team is going to beat a 4-6 football team when the 6-4 football team's playing at home. But you know what? It is relatively bold because Brock Osweiler is, well, El Terriblo. And the fact of the matter is, it's really bold because the San Diego Chargers are favored in this football game. Why? Why? Listen, I love Philip Rivers, a.k.a. the Ned Flanders of the National Football League, as much as anybody does. But come on, man. Why would the San Diego Chargers be favored at Houston? The Houston Texans have a better defense, they're a better football team, and they're playing at home. And Brock Osweiler actually didn't suck. He wasn't El Terriblo last week against the Raiders. Bill O'Brien sucked, as he always does. But he's a conservative coach. We get it. The Texans are a better team at home. It's not ultra bold, but they're actually underdogs. So you know what? It's an underdog pick. Let's step out a little further on the ledge right now. Ooh, that's pretty far down there. Let's start off. Let's just step out a little bit further here and tell you that Carson Palmer and the Arizona Cardinals are going to beat the Atlanta Falcons outright. That's right. The Atlanta Falcons, as good as their start has been, don't look now, man, but suddenly they're only 6-4. And as bad as it feels about Arizona, and Arizona do suck, don't get me wrong, man. They got problems, and Carson Palmer is regressing fast, man. All right? With all that being stated, David Johnson can create a lot of damage against this Atlanta Falcon football team. Even Carson Palmer should be able to throw the football down the field. I think this is a game in which whoever has the ball last wins. The Arizona Cardinals have the better defense. We're getting 5.5 points in this spot. Falcons coming off a bye week. We don't know how they're going to respond to this. I'm going to step out onto the ledge and give you an outright money line upset dog winner in the Arizona Cardinals to win this football game outright. Now, man, now we're not just stepping out on the ledge, man. We're on the freaking roof right now. And we've had a few too many, and we're looking down. And this is the definition of bold. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers beat the Seattle Seahawks. Before the year started, I told you that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers were my keep-your-eye-on team. They were the trendy team. I thought that they were going to come out of nowhere and make the playoffs this year. It paid like plus 320 for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to make the playoffs. In similar fashion to Arizona, perception and reality are two different things. Don't look now, but Jameis Winston and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers coming off a huge win on the road last week against the Kansas City Chiefs. If you beat the Chiefs in Arrowhead, you can beat the Seattle Seahawks at Raymond James. And yes, listen, I think Russell Wilson's going to have a big game this weekend. I think there's going to be a lot of points put up on the board this weekend in this football game. But I also believe that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are as confident as they have been all season long. And the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, man, these guys are, they're only one game out of first place right now, all right? And they actually beat the Atlanta Falcons once this year already. So tiebreakers aren't going to be a big concern for them. I'm not saying Tampa's going to come back and win this division, but I'm saying Tampa's got life. They're getting 6.5 points on their home field against a football team that, yes, they beat the New England Patriots on the road. And we told you that they were going to cover the point spread in that football game. But that was a Super Bowl rematch, man. What did they do in the previous road game before that? They lost to the New Orleans Saints. What did they do in the previous road game before that? They tied 6-6 with the Arizona Cardinals. If the Tampa Bay Buccaneers don't win this game, they're going to cover the spread. It's going to come down to the wire. For all of my predictions and all of my best bets for the weekend, check out the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page. Check out our website, fantasysportsnetwork.com. Game Time Decisions continues. Game Time Decisions. We are live on the Fantasy Sports Network. We hope you're enjoying your Thanksgiving weekend. If you happen to have the day off, there's no rest for the wicked for us, man. Canadian Thanksgiving, American Thanksgiving, New Year's, Christmas. We always have your back. Guys, there's also no rest for handicappers either. Holidays just means even more action. Actually, it's not less, it's more. And people are fired up, man. I actually might do a radio hit during one of our commercial breaks today. That's how crazy things are. I'm like, man, I got live shows. These guys want to get me on to talk about the weekend action. And we got Morency Unfiltered later. We're hitting out of bounds with Mike Cardano immediately following Morency Unfiltered. It's a busy time. I know Steve Merrill does mega hits all the time. And, holidays, no rest for the weekend. We got a full slate of football. And Steve, I promised people a ton of afternoon picks, so let's not disappoint. What's going on, Steve?
Yeah, I mean, I always do a ton of Friday shows during the football season, but it's kind of nice to have some meaningful games on this Friday as opposed to all those other Fridays when we're talking about 30-point spreads.
Yeah, no, exactly. Yeah, we're not talking about Fresno State and San Jose State today.
Although, right.
This might be the worst game we're talking about, But I tell you what, I think it's going to be an entertaining football game. And let's jump in with a game that you circled in your games to watch column over at Covers. Arkansas and Missouri. This game tips off in about 20 minutes or so. So let's kick off with this one. Arkansas, Missouri, the Hogs are 7-4 straight up. Solid year, but they're only 5-6 against the spread. The Tigers have struggled, 3-8, 4-7, but their offense has come alive. Should be a track meet here. Tigers gave up 63 to the Vols. Arkansas dropped 58 on Mississippi State. You look at Arkansas's defense, especially when they go on the road, man. They've given up a lot of yards and some big numbers. Missouri's playing with house money today, Steve. I'm looking at the over this football game. The numbers come down, and I think Missouri can hang around as a live home dog here, too.
Yeah, I like Missouri as a home dog here as well. Currently +8 in most locations. It stayed above that key number of 7.5 to 8 all week. But when I put out the line watch on Monday or Tuesday, actually, at Covers.com, Missouri was +9, and I said wait on that spread. I thought it might hit the key number of 10 because running back Crockett, their leading rusher, is suspended. But I don't think it matters, and the sharp money is on Missouri, and they've lowered this line for the right reason. Backup Whittier still has 157 carries on the season, over 700 yards. And like you said, Arkansas's rush defense, terrible. On the road this year, they're giving up over 8 yards per carry. That's unheard of. So they should be able to run on it regardless of who the running back is.
Yeah, I think we've got a live home dog guy here. Like I said, you know, there's 3-8 football teams, but you look at the energy level that they're playing with. And I watched them play against Tennessee last week. They were in that football game, Steve. The wheels fell off in the fourth quarter, and the Vols kept breaking like 96-yard runs. That's why I think there is the potential for some points in this football game. But, you know, kids, they're not going bowling, so this is their last game. You can usually expect a good effort from teams in that situation.
Exactly, and that's why rival dogs do well this week, because it's usually their bowl game. And this isn't exactly a big rivalry game, obviously. Missouri-Arkansas, it's a new SEC matchup, but it will basically be Missouri's bowl game, like you said, Gabe.
You know what? I miss the old Arkansas-LSU rivalry. This is the day that they normally play. Remember the old Colorado-Nebraska?
Yeah.
Would always play on the day after Thanksgiving. All right, so let's jump into a game, Steve. Probably the biggest game you and I have broken down on a Friday all season long, the Apple Cup. This is the biggest Apple Cup pretty much ever, actually. Let's be honest. And I was actually, you know, trying to figure out, all right, when did it actually ever mean something? So I did some digging. I was reading some Pacific Northwest media last night, Steve. And 1981, the Washington Huskies were about to win the Pac-10 at the time, and now 12, of course, used to be 8, but they were about to win the Pac-10 at the time, and they were going to go to the Rose Bowl, but Washington State beat them. That's pretty much like the most meaningful game that these two teams have played, and in fact, Steve, 8 years ago, they came into this game with a combined 1-20 record.
Yeah, it's remarkable how both of them have turned their college careers around for a lot of these seniors who were on really bad teams just 2 or 3 years ago. Now they have something meaningful. Yeah, you know, the Huskies were 1991, I think, maybe. It was when Colorado made a run also. Washington was really good, but State wasn't. Ryan Leaf was there. They were decent, but
exactly.
Washington wasn't as good. So, yeah, for both of them to be playing for something is very unusual. Another live home dog here, Gabe. I mean, this line is 6.5. It'll be interesting to see if it hits that key number of 7 by kickoff. Regardless, I think the over is worth a look. This total has actually dropped nearly a full 3 points this week. It was 64 yesterday. Now it's 62.5 near kickoff. Hard to understand that, Gabe. Washington averaging over 50 on the road. Washington State averaging over 50 at home this year.
It's the weather, Steve. It's the weather.
Yeah, I know. But, I mean, they're calling for rain, I think, probably, right?
Yeah, it's cold, windy, rainy. Yeah, these kids practice in this stuff all the time, right? They're used to it. They're both Pacific Northwest teams. But I noticed that as well, because it's almost an automatic over, yet the stakes are so high. And everyone's talking about Washington in this matchup, and Washington, because of the playoff rankings. And if Washington wins, they go to the Pac-12 championship game. But with that being stated, so can Washington State. People are forgetting about this. Washington State is right here as well. You know, they're playing for something.
Washington has a better offense. I think they're definitely the better offensive team. And if you look at the defensive numbers, Washington has better numbers as well. So I can understand why they're laying almost 7 on the road. But this line looks a little high to me, especially for a rival home dog. The wind would concern me. The cold and the rain actually, I think, gives us value with the over. But the wind is something we have to keep an eye on.
You know, my concern is the fact that We have two great quarterbacks here. We have Luke Falk and Browning, two great quarterbacks here. Who's got the better running game? I think the Washington Huskies have a better running game.
Yes.
They've got like the Dallas Cowboys version of an offensive line at the college level. They got five huge kids. You know, they're sort of tailor-made for weather like this. But you can't tell me that the Washington State Cougars can't play in bad weather, practicing in Pullman and living out there.
I do think the biggest edge for either team, though, you're exactly right, Gabe, is actually the running game for Washington. They're averaging over 200 yards on the ground, over 5.5 yards a carry. Meanwhile, the Cougars just 130 yards on the ground per game. So if the weather becomes an issue, that would be an edge for the road team for the Huskies.
Listen, people are kind of down on Washington State. They were really high on them, but they fly under the radar because of where they play. People don't talk about them. Mike Leach is a hell of a coach, Steve. And, you know, yeah, they lost last week, but a lot of teams are losing up there in Boulder this year. That was a tough spot. They were in that football game. You know, you look at the numbers. The Huskies score 44.7 a game. They give up 17 a game. Wazoo's putting up 42.5, giving up 25. I think this comes down to the wire, man. I'm taking the points with the home dog.
I just think the over still might be the safest play, unless the wind really becomes an issue, because Washington State's like a fast full-court basketball team. They want to push the tempo.
Yeah.
And it's not a factor you use a lot in college football handicapping on totals, but it is one here.
You know what it is, though, Steve? And you know me, man. I love betting the overs of these games. But, you know, when they're playing for a championship and you're playing for a spot, suddenly
–
and it leads me right into this next one, actually. And as far as the Washington State game, we're in agreement as far as, you know, I'm going to lock in the points. But this is what the beautiful thing about live in-game wagering is, Steve, right? We're going to be able to see the weather and we'll be able to hop in. We'll be able to know what the flow is pretty quickly. Let's jump into a similar situation here. We got Western Michigan. The point spread was 9. It's down to 7 right now. The total is 69.5. Now, if these two teams were playing on a Wednesday night, Steve, in late October, you and I would be all over the over here. But this is as big as it gets, man. You know, we're talking about a $6 million payday for Western Michigan if they can get to the Cotton Bowl. Western Michigan ruined Toledo's big bowl hopes last year in this exact similar situation. And what's amazing to me, despite how good the Broncos have been this year, they lose this game and Toledo wins the division. This is a monster game, and I like the underdog. I think there's a lot of pressure on the home favorite here, man.
Yeah, I agree with what you said earlier about, you know, these playoff caliber games. You always kind of lean towards the under. It's something I do in the NBA playoffs. The games go under, you know, more than they do in the regular season. They're usually lower scoring. However, you got to have some defense in order to make that happen, and neither one of these teams has any defense, and they're both explosive offensively. Both Toledo and Western Michigan combined are averaging 10 yards per pass offensively this year. Both defenses are below average against the pass. They're both below average overall. The points per game they have allowed is very misleading. Western Michigan's giving up 18 points a game, but they're giving up 5.5 yards per play against teams that average less than 5.5 yards per play. So I rate them as a below average D. This is a major step up in class compared to the teams they've been playing against Toledo.
Yeah, the Rockets are scoring 39.2 points per game. They're giving up 22.5. Western Michigan, 43.8. They give up 17.7. Western Michigan's impressive wins. They beat Northwestern in week one, and they beat Illinois. So they've got wins against two Big Ten teams. But I look at the pedigree of Toledo, Steve, and the same team last year went in there, and they beat Arkansas on the road. You beat an SEC team on the road earlier this year. They beat Arkansas State. On the road, they went to Provo and competed. They only lost by 2, a missed extra 2 late to send a game to overtime on a Friday night against BYU. I'm not even sure Western Michigan's better than Toledo.
I agree. I think if you look at statistically, both teams are very good offensively. They're both slightly below average defensively. I make the line maybe 3 or 4, you know, when you factor in home field. And that points per game is so misleading for Toledo also. They give up 22.5 per game, but they give up 5.8 yards per play against teams that only average 5.5. So once again, you can make an argument they're a below average defensive team.
Yeah, and how much of their average get hit by that 55-point night at BYU as well? Yeah, no, they've been money. And also the Toledo Rockets, 5-1 straight up last 6 in this series. All right, Charlie Strong and Texas, TCU in Texas. You wrote about this game. Charlie Strong's future's up in the air. I imagine they're going to let him go. Although, I don't know, man. They better have someone good to run to, because I'm not so sure he's so bad. They're a young football team. I'm betting on emotion here, man. I say that they're Texas strong today, and they play hard for the coach. TCU are a mess, man. Like you wrote, they're 2-8 against the spread.
Yeah, and the real red flag for me, Gabe, was I actually really liked them last week, and so did the Sharps. The line went up to -6 against Oklahoma State, yet 70% of the public was on the underdog, and unfortunately the public was right in that one. They lost 31-6 in what I thought was a good spot for them. So, I mean, why would they show up now all of a sudden? Like you said, 2-8 against the number, and I think Texas will play hard here. I think the players are going to rally behind Charlie Strong, and they would like to keep him. I don't think it'll happen. And this is the final home, you know, game. There's a lot of talk that he will be gone after this game. This line was 2.5 when I said play it now. It went up to 3 as expected. There's even some 3.5s as we approach kickoff. At -3 or less, so I still like Texas here. And by the way, today I did see a rumor Jay Gruden might be considered for the head job.
Of course. Why wouldn't he be? And you know what? As we speak right now, Tom Herman, this is something to keep our eye on, guys. Tom Herman is expected to bolt for Baton Rouge and take the LSU job. He's going to leave Houston. Houston's getting their ass handed to them right now, Steve.
Yeah, I saw that. And, of course, they had the big Louisville game last week. But, yeah that's why. And it's almost like a bowl game. This is how we handicap the bowl games next month.
You saw with LSU and Orgeron, man. LSU got the big win last night. You got to read between the lines and whether the players like the coach, dislike the coach, love the coach. These Texas kids are going to play their freaking hearts out today for Charlie Strong. Not to mention, if they win, they go bowling.
No question. And, I mean, I think that's an overlooked factor here, actually, is that this game actually might – I mean, I guess he might be gone by the bowl game, but it might not necessarily be the last game of the season for the Texas players.
Yeah, the kids want the gift bag, Steve. I would, too.
Oh, yeah, they definitely do. I don't blame them. He could maybe go to a warm location and party. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, you're 6-8. Yeah, Texas's pedigree, you'll end up in a decent game, even at 6-6, you know?
I feel the Holiday Bowl. They used to always play in the Holiday Bowl.
Yeah, but they were 8-4 in those days.
I know, they were.
Yeah, the old Holiday Bowl, the sure bet over all the time.
Exactly.
All right. Auburn, Alabama, we only got 3 minutes, so let's blast through a couple of more. Auburn, Alabama, you wrote about this one. Auburn Tiger quarterback Sean White, I don't know about his status. I don't think he's going to be playing, which means Jeremy Johnson would play. Johnson played last week. He played against Alabama A&M, so it doesn't matter. They also got a JUCO, John Franklin III, that they like. They're going to mix in. They can run the ball a little bit. This isn't a track meet Auburn-Alabama rivalry this year, Steve. You wrote about this, man. You know, Auburn's defense only giving up 14 points per game. Alabama only giving up 11 points per game. We saw Alabama was comfortable playing in that 10-0 LSU game. We could be in store for a low-scoring game here.
Yeah, you know what I want to do sometime, Gabe, is have our buddy Mark Lawrence run it through his database. Like, at this point of the season, say like 8 or 10 games in, when a team is getting more points than they allow per game, I would love to know their – because you know who was in that spot a couple weeks ago was Iowa against Michigan.
Good,
they allowed only 20.5, and they're +24. Yeah, Auburn's giving up 14 a game. They're getting 17.5 here. Problem is their starting quarterback is still questionable, like you said, in White. The backup is shaky.
He's not even good, their starting quarterback, anyway.
No, but that's the thing, and that's why regardless of the situation with quarterback, I think the under might be the safest play here, under 47. Bama gives up 11.5, Auburn 14 a game. I think it could be a defensive slugfest.
All right, all week long we haven't given any love to the Clemson Tigers at all for camera two, who's repping his jersey right now. This game's flown under the radar in rivalry week just because South Carolina isn't, the perception about the Gamecocks. But I got to tell you, man, Will Muschamp's done a pretty good job, hasn't he, Steve? I'm looking at the numbers of the South Carolina Gamecocks here. We're talking about a team that is going bowling. They're 6-5 straight up. Their defense only gives up 22 points. Here's another situation, Steve. They're getting 24, and they only give up 22 a game. The Gamecocks are also 6-1 against the spread the last 7 in the series, 8-2 against the spread the last 10 in the series. Are they a live dog?
I think at this amount of points they are. I mean, first of all, they're a rival dog, so you automatically kind of look that way. And like you said, this is the 12th game of the season. They're giving up only 22 a game, and it's against an SEC schedule. You know, it's not like it's a MAC team or something. I think it's a legitimate handicapping factor. By the way, I forgot to mention the Alabama thing quickly. The look-ahead line is Alabama -20.5 against Florida in the SEC title game next week.
20.5?
20.5 is what I've seen all week online. But that got me thinking here because Clemson obviously still in the national title mix. But I think this is a lot of points. And like you said, they gave up only 22 a game, South Carolina.
All right, Steve. Great stuff as always for Steve's NFL picks. Check out Pro Sports Info NFL.com. Also one of the covers experts. He's got write-ups and opinions on his coversexperts.com page. Steve, thanks for the time. Happy Thanksgiving. Thanks, man.
Thank you, Gabe.
There's Steve Merrill with his excellent stuff. We ran through the gauntlet. So just a quick reminder, we got a game kicking off in a couple of minutes. Me and both Steve Merrill agree the Missouri Tigers are a live home underdog here. I like the over, man. It was 73. It's down to 71.5 right now. I feel like an idiot that I already bet it before the show started earlier at 73. But I figured I'd be busy and be a professional and not worry about placing bets during the show. That was a mistake. One of many. All right, who's next? Mayo, Cam Stewart? Either way, it's all good. The kid is hot tonight. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. The kid
is hot tonight. Whoa! So hot tonight.
Cam's fired up tonight.
I am.
You know what? I really wish, actually, I wanted to think of this before you came into the studio. I wanted to get an apple and take a bite out of it.
Yeah, I love the apple cup.
The apple cup. I have an apple out here. It's the apple cup kicking off in about an hour's time, Cam. Hard to pass Wazoo plus the points.
Took the points, buddy. Wazoo and a sprinkle on the money line plus 220.
Of course you did.
Hey, it's crazy because my old man's dad went to Washington, but my cousin played football at Washington State, so it's kind of a big rivalry in the Stewart family with the Cougars and Huskies.
So what I thought you had like relatives from Aberdeen, Scotland, and stuff, Cam. Not Bellingham, Washington.
Yeah, I got one in Bellingham and one in Aberdeen, Gabe. No, it's true.
You're a Seattle Seahawk fan.
Yep.
And you're a Washington State Cougar fan.
Yeah, when I was a kid, they used to always mail me Seattle Seahawk gear in the mail for Christmas. It was amazing.
Remember the old days when the franchises had class?
Yes.
Exactly. The Los Angeles Dodgers used to send me stuff in the mail all the time, as long as I was always true Dodger blue in
Remember
return.
When franchises had class? You're the best, Marenzi.
They don't anymore.
No, they don't.
Let's be real about that. All right, Cam. So, yeah, they're getting, before we jump into the hot roster, any other college football thoughts? A lot of big games today. We've got Arkansas, Missouri kicking off. Washington and Washington State, they're getting 6.5. The total 63.5. Bad weather expected out there in Portland.
I know. A lot of things people are going to assume you're going to take the under with Luke Falk and Washington State, but be very, very careful. I'd actually, you know what, Gabe? I don't think it's going to be fireworks like we think. Keep digging. Maybe a little under.
Plus, they're playing for a trip to the Pac-12 championship game. I'm taking the Toledo Rockets plus the points.
The Rockets.
I'm taking the Texas Longhorns minus the 3.
Oh, yeah, the Longhorns.
That's about it. What about, we'll get your great cup pick on Marenzi on Filter.
Everybody and their mother thinks Calgary's just going to walk all over these guys. Put the brakes on.
What do you think of the jersey? Authentic.
I know what I love? I love you representing the Montreal Alouettes. And the best thing is we were watching ESPN Classics. Damon Duvall from Auburn and Alabama in the ESPN Classic. Fantastic.
This is Damon Duvall. Yeah, Damon Duvall. He actually gave me this jersey. Cam was there when he gave it to me.
Great guy.
It was the best. We're doing a live show. We had we had quite a few drinks. And Cam starts saying, you know, you're a great guy, man, but that one time you missed a kick.
Oh, yeah.
You really cost me a lot of money.
He missed 4 field goals
against
Georgia.
And Duval's like, I didn't miss the kick in that game. And Cam's like, come on, man, you missed the kick in that game. Duval's getting pissed. He's like, dude, I didn't miss the kick. I made the kick in that game. And, it was great. I was like, Cam, just, you know.
Just put the, yeah, Cam,
shut
up. I was
like, you know, Cam's like getting upset. No, you missed the kick, man.
He missed 4 kicks versus Georgia. Trust me, I know. I know, but he's a great guy.
Even
I watched the game.
Even in the classic Grey Cup that they won, he actually missed the original kick.
Penalty, then he got it back. Exactly, yeah, exactly.
To a 12 men on the field.
Yeah, we were at that
Grey Cup. It was 13 men on the field.
It was freezing that day.
Okay, so anyways, let's jump into the hot roster. I like this week's matchups, Cam. We're talking quarterbacks. So let's, of course, hot roster. Go to hotroster.com. It's head-to-head fantasy matchups,
standard,
not with other players. But so you're going head-to-head, one player versus another player. You need to pick 4 matchups, and you win money.
Yeah,
simple
it's awesome.
As that. You're not competing against hundreds of thousands of people. You're just competing against yourself.
Or NIT nerds.
Yeah, NIT.
Yeah, MIT nerds and Harvard grads and
NIT
algorithms.
The New Jersey Institute of Technology. I don't know how smart they are in Jersey.
Oh, I went to Fanshawe, so.
The major at MIT is like, you know, computer technology. The major at New Jersey Institute of Technology, digging bodies. Management waste. Yeah. Waste disposal.
Waste Management Incorporated. Yeah.
What's your major? Waste Management. New Jersey Institute.
No love from camera one and two. I thought that was pretty good material there. He's giving us a thumbs down. Shut up, Clemson.
Maybe
what
we,
do you got
if
for
we talked about like Demi Lovato or Justin Bieber, they know we talked about or something like that. These two bozos are the only ones excited for the three tenors and One Republic performing at the Great Cup.
Yeah, camera two. Bon Jovi's the best singer of our generation. Anyway, let's continue Hot Roster.
All right, let's jump in. Yep. Colin Kaepernick versus Blake Bortles. I come prepared today, Cam. I'll start with you. Yep. Who do you like?
Oh, I love Colin Kaepernick in this matchup. Don't kid yourself. This guy, fantasy and reality. Blake Bortles, throw some more interceptions. Enjoy Buffalo. It's going to be hostile with Bills Mafia. Kaepernick's been a top 10 quarterback the last few weeks, Morenci. Three consecutive weeks of 19-plus fantasy points. He's getting it done. The 49ers play from behind. Give me Colin Kaepernick. Bortles continues to struggle.
I got to agree with my good friend, the Ridge Redhead Cam Stewart. How about the Buffalo Bills, who Bortles playing? One of the best defenses in the league, man. 8 interceptions, a league high, 31 sacks. I need to repeat this every week. Nate Hackett is the offensive coordinator. Fade anything that has to do with Nate Hackett. Blake Bortles is going to get killed,
he
man.
He is, actually. He's going to get hurt in that
game. Yeah, he's going to get killed. Bad weather, cold.
Disastrous.
In Buffalo. Helmets in the back. Turnovers.
Jaguars.
Fumbles.
Ooh.
Meanwhile, Colin Kaepernick, man, kid's been solid. Love him or hate him, you know, whether he's kneeling or standing. Best tweets yesterday was, if Colin Kaepernick kneeled during Aretha Franklin's national anthem, he'd have arthritis. You know, it was so damn long. Like,
four and a half minutes. Hey, Aretha.
He'd be like, come on, man.
You wrap it up. I know. I was just sitting there going, come on, man.
I'm surprised the referees didn't throw a flag. Delay a game. Colin Kaepernick, though, 7 touchdown passes, just 2 interceptions, averaging 17 fantasy points per game since he's come back. San Francisco's always trailing.
Yep.
The weather's not going to be a factor. Like Buffalo, you got to like Kaepernick in this matchup. Tom Brady versus Cam Newton. Tom Brady versus the Jets. Cam Newton versus the Raiders.
Yeah, I'll tell you something, Gabe. Tom Brady, most fantasy points per drop back. 16 touches to touchdowns to 1 pick. The man is on fire. As for Cam Newton, where have you been there, buddy? Hey, things ever since that big hit in Atlanta, you haven't been the same. Only 4 rushing touchdowns. Not getting it done with his legs. Erratic passes. This guy has accuracy problems. How do you bet against Tom Brady? Sure, Cam Newton might beat us 1 out of 10 times, Morenci. I'm going down with Tom Terrific. Go Michigan.
You know what? I think that Cam Newton's in a nice spot this week. I think there'll be some points put up on the board in this football game. But look at Cam last week, man. 2 weeks ago, they had a 20 play drive that ended in a punt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, last week, 14 of 33, man, 42% of his passes. Too much dinking and dunking going on, not enough scoring going on. You're right. And another thing is Cam's beaten up. He's not running anymore. He's throwing the ball away. You know, I don't think Brady's going to torch the Jets. He scores a little less against the Jets, but nevertheless, he's probably going to throw 3 touchdown passes. I agree with you. Let's go with Tom Brady.
Morenci, I got to give you one. Newton 2 tied for last with Dalton and Flacco. Least multi-touchdown games in the league.
Good point. I agree. We're both in agreement. Colin Kaepernick, Tom Brady. All right, Drew Brees versus Marcus Mariota. This is a tougher one here.
Yes.
Who do you like?
I got to be honest with you. Hot roster, you did your due diligence on this one. This is a straight-up pick'em slam fight here. I'll tell you, Drew Brees at home, though, at the Superdome will put up points. Mariota's been doing it with his legs and arms, Morenci. Very, very tough. I have to go with Drew Brees in this matchup just because he's at home. And know what? I believe the Titans will run DeMarco Murray all day long. That's the recipe for success. So, Eileen Brees.
I got to agree with you here. It's completely tough. It's hard to go against Mariota, man. A guy's putting up like 22, 27, 31 fantasy points. I do agree. I think there's going to be a lot of running in the Windy City with the Titans, and you just can't go against Drew Brees. Even though it is against the Rams, he's still going to throw for 2-3 touchdown passes. Aaron Rodgers versus Matt Ryan. Ooh.
I'll tell you something. You know, Matt Ryan might look enticing, but you got to go with Aaron Rodgers. These guys have no running game. Ty Montgomery, Kristen Michael's on the team now. What are they going to do? They can't run the ball. Starks can't run the ball. He gets his touchdown through the air on a reception. Rodgers will chuck all day long. Matt Ryan, hey, we got 2 running backs back, Morenci. We got Coleman and Freeman back in the scenario. Split carries, they're going to try to figure it out. Rodgers, he might throw for 400-plus. I know the Eagles' defense is a little bit better, but Green Bay has to throw the ball. They got nothing else.
Yeah, Kristen Michael making his debut.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, how much of a difference are we going to make? The Philadelphia Eagles' defense is pretty good. But by nature of how bad the Green Bay Packer defense is, Rodgers throws the football.
He's slinging it,
yeah. Oh, yeah, he's been a fantasy machine as of late. This is a real tough one, though. I'm going to disagree with you on this
Ryan?
One. I'm going to go with Matt Ryan. I do agree about the, you know, the running backs coming back, but he dumps the ball off to Freeman as well.
He does.
So often. And I just can't go against the fact that this game's going to be in the dome, that it's indoors, as opposed to a Monday night. Green Bay is about to implode. And I think one thing, I think Green Bay, they're going to have to try to run the football.
It's not going to work.
They have Penny's to keep throw. Their defense off the field. But
good luck.
It's not like Mike McCarthy's ever done anything smart, so... yeah, it's a real tough one, man. Real, real tough one. But I'm going to go Matt Ryan. All right. For more hot roster selections, just go to the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page. Raging Reddit and Gary and Thorne got a ton of videos up there breaking it all down. Game Time Decisions on Fantasy Sports Network continues. Always cool when Pat Mayo joins us in studio to talk NFL football. We'll talk a couple of games and then get to Pat Mayo's Super Lock of the Week.
Super Dud of the Week.
Well, I told you, Pat, for every lock, there's a key. There's people walking around with keys right now.
Yeah, everyone has the key. So someone went and took my key and just went to the store and got it duplicated like 80 times.
I know, man. It's like the store's looted now. The door's open. And like.
And the worst thing is I had a good Thanksgiving, so now I'm bound to have a terrible, terrible Sunday slate.
Yeah, you know what? It happens, though, because as long as you win money, right, because it's better to take it on the chin. It's never good taking it on the chin publicly, and people are like, great, your pick sucked. And it's like, well, if you know... I don't care. I just want money online.
Yeah, listen.
So then, you know, you can sleep fine at night, right? It just happens to be that these picks aren't winning.
It's the one pick.
Yeah.
Like, the one pick isn't winning. It's killing me.
We have our NFL record. Sean showed me this morning. Maybe we'll put it up later if you guys have it now. It's incredibly good. Yet, I'm not incredibly rich at all. Like, it's really frustrating. Like, somehow my record is much better than...
The results.
Yeah, than the results. So it goes all ways, people. But nevertheless, let's talk some of these games. All right. I started off the program talking about this football game. The Arizona Cardinals are at the Atlanta Falcons. I'm calling the upset outright money line win
for
the Arizona Cardinals.
I like the Falcons in this game. I just think that Arizona may have mailed it in. Like, they're just not good. Like, they have a very good defense. They have a very good special teams. But Carson Palmer looks bad.
Terrible.
And I know that the Falcons aren't like really going to pressure him all that much, but that offensive line is really beat up. They can't really block anyone. And I know if you go back and look at last week's game against Minnesota, they scored a 101-yard pick six.
Yeah.
They scored a return
kickoff
touchdown.
Yeah.
So it wasn't as lopsided as maybe the score seemed, but Atlanta needs to win here. Like, Atlanta's getting caught up to by the Bucs here, and we'll probably talk about that Bucs game in a second, but it seems like the world, if you just lived in a bubble and this office was the bubble, everyone loves the Bucs. But if you go look at the public, everyone loves the Seahawks. I think that's why everyone kind of likes the Bucs this week. I just think Atlanta needs to win this game. They've been really good at home, and when you match up two teams that do very similar things well, take the team who's winning is not on a downward spiral. Like, Arizona's done. They're not making the playoffs. Like, what do they have to play for?
They're not done yet.
They're done. They're finished.
They're on the ropes.
They're finished.
They're on the ropes. You know, their season will be defined by this game. They're 4-5-1, Pat.
But even in a similar, like,
they're in trouble because everyone in the NFC East keeps winning.
Yes.
But the players don't think like that. They're professional athletes looking at the schedule going, you know what, we got six games left.
Like Bruce Arians.
We only have five losses.
Bruce Arians had like a heart attack after last week's game. Like, that's not, remember we saw Kubiak have
it? Carson Palmer was my quarterback. I'd have a heart attack
probably
too at this point.
And at this point, I never thought I would say this coming into the season, but give me Matt Ryan. He's way better than Carson Palmer at this point.
Oh, he is. I'm not going to argue that point. But still, the Atlanta Falcons are coming out of a bye week. You don't know how they're going to perform here. They're not the same team that was on a tear earlier in the season. They're 6-4 right now. Just because they need it and want it doesn't mean it's going to happen.
No, but I think that extra week off gives them more time to prepare.
This is as desperate as you can get for the Cardinals, like coming in here. This is it. Carson Palmer needs to make plays. I think David Johnson could do a lot of damage.
I agree. The Falcons give up a ton of yardage to running
backs.
Listen,
the underdog is 21-5 against the spread in Dan Quinn's last 26 games. So we've told you about that. The underdog has been muddy in Atlanta Falcon games. But let's move on to the Titans and the Bears.
Now, this is one of two games this week that really have caught my attention. So it's Tennessee at the Bears, -5 for Tennessee. The other one is Seattle, -6 at Tampa Bay. You know who the public loves? The favorites, by an overwhelming margin. I don't want to take Matt Barkley at all. I think it's probably on paper a very bad idea. But Tennessee, outside of that Green Bay game, they don't really blow teams out all that often. And weirdly enough, Chicago's defense has been significantly better in Chicago than it has been the rest of the season. So I think that Tennessee can win this game. Obviously, they're 5-point favorites. They are the better team. But I do think that Chicago covers that 5.
I can't argue with anything you just said. It's up to 5.5 even right now, Pat.
And it'll probably go up even more.
Listen, the Titans' offense been on fire, 30 or more in 3 of their last 4 games. But this is a different scenario. They're going to be playing in the Windy City. They don't call it the Windy City for nothing.
Is it windy? I've heard that.
No, it is.
But when you look at what they want to do in this game.
Matt Barkley at quarterback. But listen, Kyle Long, guard, out. Cutler, out. Leonard Floyd, out. The Bears are beaten up. They're beaten down right now. But Mike Mularkey's a horrible coach.
Yes.
Who you don't want to be laying points with on the road, that's for sure. And in fact, Mike Mularkey, actually doing a good job this year, but his track record of betting, is not great. Mike Mularkey, 0-8 against the spread as a head coach in the NFL on the road coming off a straight-up win.
Well, the Titans have been like the zigzag team this year as well, so a lot of people are just banking on the Titans to cover this number because of it. But I think if you're going to play this game, and I understand that it's a bit risky, one, you have everyone's on one side of this. Vegas is becoming very slow to move that number, so that leads me to believe that I want to be on the other side of that game. But if you do take the Bears, parlay it with the under, because there's no way the Bears are getting to the over in winning this game. Because when you look at what they're going to do, Tennessee is going to hand the ball off to DeMarco Murray over and over. They might even get Derrick Henry 10 touches in this game. What are the Bears going to do? They're going to hand the ball off to Jordan Howard 23 times. This is going to be a very, very slow game in terms of watching it. When you see that clock tick away with all the runs, it's just going to run out of time. Not a lot of plays, not a lot of scoring.
That's why I stayed away from Mariota and DraftKings this week.
Yeah, and the Bears have a bad pass defense. Mariota can go light it up. That scenario is very much on the table. The scenario that people expect to happen is definitely there. But I think the Bears cover, and if the Bears cover, this game is going under 42, so you can double up your bet like that if you want to.
All right, quickly on this one before we get to your super lock, the Seahawks and the Buccaneers.
Same thing.
It is a similar situation here, except the Buccaneers, and I brought this up off the top of the program, the perception is I came into the season hyping the Buccaneers as a trendy, they can make the playoffs type of team. They were underachieving, but I brought this up a couple of weeks ago. No team needed the bye. Some teams get the bye at the wrong time.
And it derails them. Yeah,
the Vikings were 5-0. The Buccaneers got the bye. They've been great out of the bye. Something's clicked with Jameis Winston and Dirk Cutter. They're on the same page. Monster win for them last week. They've won 2 in a row right now. Big road win against Kansas City. Their problem is they're better on the road for some reason. They're only 1-4 at home. They're 4-1 on the road. It's insane. Only 1-4 at home. Seattle's playing better right now, but I think Tampa's a live dog in this football game.
So do I. And if you walked around the office around here, everyone would be telling you Bucs +6. Bucs +6. When you look at that public number, 93% of the public is betting on Seattle -6. It's on the road. They've been zigzagging across the country. They were in New England for a Sunday nighter, then they were back at home. Now they're going back to the East Coast. I know it's a 4:00 game. Seattle's the better team. Let's not skirt the issue here. And the Bucs have not played super well against the NFC West so far this season. They went to Arizona and got absolutely tuned. They got the Rams at home. The Rams destroyed them.
Yep.
So I think the over is the better bet in this game.
I like the over.
45.
Yeah. I agree.
But I will be taking Tampa +6. I don't feel super strongly about it, though.
You know what's funny, Pat? I got Russell Wilson as my DraftKings quarterback.
I like that move.
Yeah, but I think Tampa can still cover nevertheless.
Agreed.
I think it's a high scoring game, 30-27 type of deal.
Yeah.
Tampa have a way of blowing these. All right, Pat, you only got a minute. The floor is yours.
I only need
a
minute.
Hit the music. Super lock of the week.
I only need a minute because, weirdly enough, the best thing that happened to this spread was Tampa Bay going into Kansas City and winning that game last week, Kansas City losing at home. They are now getting very little respect for a division game against a Broncos team that, frankly, hasn't been very good. I expect this to be a 3-point game either way, so if you're giving me +3.5 with the Kansas City Chiefs, give me that hook. I'll take KC.
You know what? I'm leaning with the Denver Broncos in this game, but that hook does make a big difference.
And it's not moving.
Be a close football.
It's not moving at all.
My deal with Kansas City is, though, they lost to Tampa Bay. The week before that game against Carolina, they were down 17-0. They really didn't play well in that game. The week before that, they didn't play well against Jacksonville either.
But the Broncos haven't really played well either. They won that New Orleans game on the weirdest play ever.
I know. It should be closer to a pick 'em than a 3.5.
Yeah. It's the half point that's really doing it for me. Kansas City, super lock it in.
Game time decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. All right, it's time for our weekly Millionaire Maker lineup. Let's jump right in and start off at the quarterback position. Russell Wilson. Man, this dude's been coming alive. 25 or more DK points in three straight football games. Great matchup here versus Tampa Bay. Buccaneers giving up 267 passing yards, 24.7 points per game. Wilson has six touchdown passes the last three games. I like Russell Wilson. Ajayi, he's been held in check the last couple of weeks. I'm aware, but the 49ers give up 179 yards a game on the ground, man. Worse than the National Football League. They also have given up 13 rushing touchdowns. I think there's going to be a lot of points put up on the board in that football game. Jeremy Hill, my nemesis. I don't know why, man. I draft Jeremy Hill every year in season-long teams, and I always fall for it all the time, and then I complain about it after, but who else are they going to give the football to? Jeremy Hill at $3,900, just too good to pass up without A.J. Green and Bernard or Rishard Matthews. I don't think Mariota and Tennessee are going to put up the monster numbers that they have been, but nevertheless, I think that Matthews is going to score a touchdown, and he's going to have his usual 7-8 with some big numbers. He's become Mariota's go-to guy. I like Rishard Matthews in this spot against a bad Bear defense, or not a bad Bear defense, but they're on the field all the time. Baldwin, we're going to Doug Baldwin, we're going to stack him with Russell Wilson. Great matchup versus the Bucs. Baldwin's got 51 DraftKings points since the last two games. Tampa gave up the 11th most fantasy points to wide receivers. This is a hunch play, guys, and you got to think outside the box sometime. I don't think a lot of people are going to own DeAndre Hopkins, but Brock Osweiler actually didn't suck on Monday night. You got a San Diego Charger team coming in here. There should be some points put up on the board in this football game. Brock Osweiler is always better at home, and I think that, like I said, I just got a feeling that Hopkins, he's going to score at least one touchdown. He's going to have like 118 yards or something like that. Big day for DeAndre Hopkins coming up. Greg Olsen. Greg Olsen hasn't been putting up the same usual huge numbers recently because they're using him in blocking more because Cam Newton's been getting killed. But I expect Olsen to be part of the passing attack. Devontae Parker, I was hoping he would be better earlier in the year, but he's coming alive right now, man. The guy's been a target machine. Targeted 18 times in the last two games, 13 catches and a touchdown. And give me the Titans defense against Matt Barkley and the Bears. All right, we got to be quick with our plays of the day. Washington State, +6.5 in the Apple Cup. Texas Longhorns, -3. Charlie Strong, Texas Strong. They're going to win for the coach. Let's go over the number. TCU and Texas over 60. Boise State and Air Force. Interesting Mountain West matchup. Let's go with the Air Force Falcons +8.5. Boise State Air Force going to be a track meet over 64.5. Toledo and Western Michigan. Toledo covers the number. Take the 7. Baylor and Texas Tech is a train wreck, but it's going to go over the number at 83.5. Arizona State and Arizona, the Territorial Cup or whatever the hell they're playing for. Give me the Sun Devils.